Today, things are going to get worse before they get better. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. We have the latest post covering finance and property news, and this is our weekly market update. Well, US stocks mostly finished lower on Friday as tech shares fell and volatility surged despite earnings from three major banks, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup, helping to offset some of the negative sentiment. Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson sees a rebound in earnings in the latter half of 2024, but for now, his message to investors is stick to the stock picker's playbook, as things are going to get worse before they get better. The downward slide in US equities after the market peaked in July is set to continue, with the catalysts for more declines already in place, according to the prominent equity bear, who was ranked number one in last year's institutional investor survey after correctly predicting the 2022 stock sell-off. His year-end target for the S&P 500 index implies about a 10% drop from the current level. Oil, on the other hand, was more than 5% higher, with WTI at $87.69 a barrel, as concerns about the conflict between Israel and Hamas widened to include Iran flared. Some economists now estimate oil prices could soar to $150 a barrel and global growth drop to 1.7%, a recession that takes about $1 trillion off world output. That's if the conflict between Israel and Hamas widened to include Iran. Brent crude surged 7.5% in the week since the conflict began, posting its highest weekly gain since February, and was last at $90.94, all very inflationary. In the meantime, gold surged more than 3%, with the gold contract above $1,900 an ounce. In fact, it was last at $1,945.90. And the volatility index was more than 20% higher at one point, with the VIX at 15.8% higher to 1932 at the end of trade. The yield on the US 10-year note slid 8 basis points to 4.61% in New York, but rates are still very high. This may be the most dangerous time the world has seen in decades, JP Morgan boss Jamie Dimon said in a statement with the firm's third quarter results. The goal is to get into a safe asset that would work if the ground assaults get bad over the weekend, said Marvin Lowe, senior global macro strategist at State Street. Everything that's going on in the Middle East is getting more and more unfortunately depressing and seems to have the potential to get worse, he said. JP Morgan rose 1.6% after it reported a 35% profit increase from the year ago quarter, underpinned by a surge in rates that bolstered its retail banking unit's profits. Wells Fargo gained 3% and Citi slipped 0.2%. Bank of America and Goldman Sachs are scheduled to report their quarterly results on Tuesday. But major US banks on Friday warned the economy was slowing as customers depleted their savings. On Wall Street, shares also reflected a deterioration in America's expectations for inflation and their overall finances. The University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index tumbled to 63 from 68.1. The index is well below its long-term average of 86, and renewed weakening could be evidence that a slowdown in consumer spending may be coming in the months ahead, Oxford Economics' Grace Zue said in the note. We expect mounting headwinds to consumers' finances, depleted excess savings, and higher borrowing costs to cause consumer spending to slow sharply over the next few quarters, probably though not by as much as the very weak levels of consumer sentiment suggest, they said. In stocks, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.12% to 33,670, thanks to the banks. But the S&P 500 lost 0.5% to 4,327, and the Nasdaq Composite dropped 1.23% to 13,407. Energy stocks, though, hitched a ride on surging oil prices as the US tightened sanctions against Russia. APA Corporation, Marathon Oil Corporation, and EOG Resources were among the biggest gainers on the day, up by around 3%. Big tech, including Apple, Meta, Alphabet, and Microsoft, pressurized the broader market, while chip stocks, including Nvidia, added to the pressure amid concerns about fresh US restrictions on chip exports to China. The White House is weighing up additional options to prohibit Chinese companies from accessing artificial intelligence chips from US companies, according to a report in Reuters. Microsoft Corporation completed its $69 billion acquisition of video game maker Activision after receiving final approval from the UK Competition and Markets Authority. The UK antitrust watchdog's approval comes after Microsoft addressed antitrust concerns by agreeing to sell Activision's non-European cloud streaming rights to French video game group Ubisoft Entertainment. Netflix shares fell nearly 2% after Wolf Research downgraded the company to peer perform from outperform, citing concerns about valuations. The dollar was also helped thanks to safe haven buying, which was driven by the escalating Middle East conflict. The dollar index, which measures the US currency against six major peers, ticked up 0.11% to 106.63. The index, which jumped 0.8% on Thursday, its biggest one-day rise since March 15th, is going to finish the week up more than 0.5% higher. Investors in the coming week will get a look at the state of US consumers, whose spending drives around two-thirds of the economy, with US retail sales reports and earnings due from Procter & Gamble, Netflix, and a slew of banks. Durable consumer spending has been a key reason for the economy's resilience in the face of higher interest rates, with the better-than-expected economy supporting stocks this year. The S&P 500 is still up 30% year-to-date, even though it's retreated roughly 6% from highs reached in late July. It's hyper-important to us because that's really what has been resilient in this economy, said Art Hogan, chief market strategist at B. Riley Wealth. We really want to see what consumers are doing versus what they're saying. Retail sales are expected to have risen about 0.3% on a monthly basis in September, according to economists polled by Reuters. There have been some signs that consumer strength may be waning. A survey on Friday showed that US consumer sentiment deteriorated in October, with households expecting higher inflation over the next year. That was the third straight monthly decline in sentiment, as reported by the University of Michigan, and it was nearly all across all demographic groups. There are a lot of questions around how the consumer is holding up, said Walter Todd, chief investment officer at Greenwood Capital. As earnings reports arrive, investors will also focus on comments from bank executives about whether Americans are defaulting on loans and paying back credit card debt. Bank of America will report results on Tuesday, with a number of regional banks expected in the coming week as well. Todd of Greenwood Capital is focused on insight from companies about the cumulative effect of higher inflation and higher rates on consumers. Thrown on top of that, the student loan payments kicking back up, that should all put incremental pressure on their ability to potentially spend, he said. To be sure, a strong retail sales number could also spark concerns, potentially renewing worries that a too-hot economy will push the Fed to take a more hawkish interest rate stance. Such an outcome could extend a rise in Treasury yields that has pressurized stocks in recent weeks. The US 10-year benchmark currently is around 4.65% after hitting a 16-year high earlier this month. Jack Ablin, chief investment officer at Crescent Capital, said he's looking for the benchmark Treasury yield to come off the boil and fall to around 4.5%, boosting investors' appetite for risk. If indeed we see waning strength in consumer spending, that will likely take some of the pressure off interest rates and the Fed, Ablin said. The conclusions from the consumer next week, I think, is going to be bad news is potentially good news. Over in Europe, stocks also fell. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index lost 0.98%, and MSCI's gauge of stocks around the globe shed 0.81%. The FTSE in London experienced a 0.59% decline on Friday, led by a significant 21.79% drop in shares of St. James Place PLC. Other prominent losers included Ocado Group, JD Sports Fashion, and Spirax Sarco Engineering. On the flip side, Fresnillo shares were the most significant riser among the FTSE 100 constituents, surging by 4.39%. BP, United Utilities, and Shell also registered gains on Friday. In currency markets, the pound fell against both the dollar and the euro, experiencing substantial shifts in both exchange rates. And in bond markets, the yield on the 10-year gilt saw a decrease on Friday, aligning with the general downtrend in equities markets. The UK economy experienced a mild recovery in August with a 0.2% growth, following a 0.5% contraction in July, according to the data from the ONS released on Thursday. This rebound is attributed to disruptive industrial action within the NHS and railway sectors, as well as adverse weather conditions that affected the July figures. Simultaneously, inflation in the UK cooled down unexpectedly to 6.7% in August. The Bank of England responded by maintaining its interest rates steady at 5.25% after implementing 14 consecutive hikes aimed at achieving a 2% inflation target. Despite this, the bank issued warnings about the impending effects of increased borrowing. RBC Capital Markets expressed concerns over the ongoing strikes and their potential impact on the August figures. And meantime, AJ Bell underscored the looming recession risks due to higher borrowing costs and soaring prices exerting pressure on businesses and consumers. The DAX in Germany was down 1.55%, while the CAC 40 in France was down 1.42%. And natural gas futures rose significantly on the news this week, including another pipeline potentially sabotaged, with the Dutch natural gas futures at 55.065, compared with recent lows of below 40. And the further strikes in Western Australia don't help either. In Asia, China is considering creating a state-backed stabilisation fund to shore up confidence in equity markets, according to Bloomberg. Financial regulators, including the Chinese Securities Regulatory Commission, recently submitted a preliminary plan to the country's top leadership after at least two rounds of consultation with industry participants over several months, the report said. The plan calls for the fund to have access to total capital of up to hundreds of billions of yuan, the report said, adding that implementation details have not been finalised and there could be a chance the proposal will be scrapped. The move comes as China's big four state banks said late on Wednesday that their controlling state parent shareholder, Central Hanjin Investments, bought their Shanghai traded shares and plans to further increase its holdings in the next 6 months. And data earlier on Friday showed China's consumer prices were flat in September, while factory gate prices shrank more slowly, indicating deflationary pressures persist while exports and imports continue to contract at a slower pace. The Shanghai Composite was down 0.64% to 3,088, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 2.73% to 17,759. China Evergrande continues to struggle at 0.30 as the property problems across China deepen. In Korea, the Kospi was down 0.95% and the Nikkei in Japan was at 32,289, down 0.61%. The yen was 149.57, down 0.16%. The Australian share market snapped a week-long winning streak to close low on Friday after holding expected US inflation data reignited fears of more US rate rises. The ASX 200 ended down 0.6% to 7,051, and the All Ordinaries also fell 0.6%. Despite the fall, the benchmark still closed 1.4% higher for the week. Friday's fall mirrored overnight action on the S&P 500 after the latest headline US core consumer prices grew 0.4% against the forecast rise of just 0.3% as I discussed in a previous post. The year-on-year growth rate held at 3.7%, with economists forecasting a drop to 3.6%. The still hot CPI figures renewed bets the US Federal Reserve was not done with raising rates, sending bond yields up and equity markets down. In Australia, rate-sensitive companies sold off. Real estate and tech were the worst performing of the 11 sectors on Friday, and both were down about 1.9%. Healthcare stocks rose 0.9%, buoyed by a 1.9% gain in CSL. In company news, shareholders in Australia's biggest gold miner, Newcrest, overwhelmingly voted in favour of a $26.2 billion merger with US gold mining giant Newmont. Shares edged up 0.8% to $26. Perpetual jumped 2.8% to 21.31 after news its assets under management had held steady in the December quarter. The struggling money manager pulled in $100 million in inflows during the three-month period, compared to $5.1 billion of outflows in the previous quarter. Pact Group held flat at 72 cents. The packaging company's board has urged shareholders to reject a buyout offer from majority stakeholder and billionaire businessman Raphael Genminder. ResMed dropped 2.8% to 21.54, nearing a four-year low after an analyst note from brokers at RBC, which downgraded the stock to perform from outperform. And Bega Cheese gained 3.2% to $2.89 after analysts at Bell Potter upgraded the foods business to a buy rating. And Fletcher Building remained in a trading halt. It has accused Western Australia's largest home builder, BGC, of making unfounded allegations over plumbing pipe leaks in 11% of new houses built in the state between 2017 and 2022 that used Fletcher products. The shares last traded at $4.45. Banks were down, with CPA at $100.97. NAB was at $29.32, down 0.81%. Westpac was down 0.69% to $21.48. And ANZ was down 0.58% to $25.71. Macquarie was down 0.43% to $169.96. And ASX futures were down 1.16% to 7,042, signalling more falls ahead. And the local currency slipped 0.3%, falling below 63 US cents to 62.94 in crypto. The US Securities and Exchange Commission will not appeal a recent court ruling that found it was wrong to reject an application from Grayscale Investments to create a spot Bitcoin exchange traded fund. The District of Columbia Court of Appeal in Washington in August ruled that the SEC was wrong to reject Grayscale's proposed ETF in a case that's been closely watched by the industry, which has been trying for a decade to advance such products. The SEC's decision not to appeal likely paves the way for the agency to review Grayscale's application. A spot Bitcoin ETF would give investors exposure to the world's largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization without having to own it. And the SEC has denied all spot Bitcoin ETF applications, including Grayscale's, on the grounds applicants have not shown they can protect investors from market manipulation. Grayscale sued the SEC, arguing that because the agency previously approved certain surveillance agreements to prevent fraud in Bitcoin futures-based ETFs, the same setup should be satisfactory for Grayscale's spot ETF, since both spot and futures funds rely on Bitcoin's price. The appeals court ruled that the SEC arbitrarily denied Grayscale's application because it never explained why the two arrangements are materially different. The appeal court is expected to issue a mandate specifying how its decision could be executed, which will likely include instructing the SEC to revisit Grayscale's application. Several other asset managers, including BlackRock, Fidelity, and Invesco, have similar filings pending at the SEC for a spot Bitcoin ETF, and the SEC is due to decide on those applications by next year at the latest. And meantime, Bitcoin was 0.26% higher to 26,893 US. It briefly surged above 27,000 US, but is still trading in a tight range. So standing back, well, things continue to deteriorate. October is always a wobbly month, and unfortunately, some of the global events that we're seeing at the moment will force significant changes in markets. Potential interest rates higher, a focus perhaps on gold and commodities, particularly oil, and maybe stocks to fall. And it could well be that a 10% drop by the end of the year is on the cards. It could be worse than that too, because there are so many uncertainties. It's also worth remembering, of course, that given where interest rates now are, it is feasible to get 4, 5 or even 6% from relatively secure sectors of the market, including some bonds. That means that perhaps more investors will switch away from the equity section, because of course equities are very much contingent about what happens later and what happens to earnings. Whereas if you can get a fixed return that is secure in the current environment, that could be quite attractive. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.